following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to turn 130 of A Worthy Opponent, a podcast based on the Blizzard game Hearthstone. I am Black Lace, and with me in the studio is Autumn's Bane, or the Bane of Autumn. Actually, Summer Hater. Go ahead.
C'Thun's least favorite Hearthstone card, Eye for an Eye.
Huh?
What?
It's a C'Thun card? Maybe?
Literally speaking, yes.
I don't know. C'Thun. Oh, good God. All right. And actually, I can say it now.
And you get the joke, don't you?
An eye for an eye, because C'Thun's got all those eyeballs.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, maybe it's his least favorite card, but it's probably a lot of people's least favorite card.
C'Thun?
No, eye for an eye.
Oh, eye for an eye. Sorry.
Not a very great card, eye for an eye.
He's kind of, yeah. All right. Well, I didn't get that one at all.
C'Thun himself is not a bad card.
No. I don't know if I have eye for an eye.
It's a paladin secret.
Oh.
Where it does the same amount of damage back.
Okay. I don't play paladin. You know that.
Don't you?
Not really. No, I have been looking for a paladin deck recently, and I don't really have a good one. I'm looking through right now.
You could go through the recipes and play a paladin murloc deck.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I've got, let's see, that's a mage, a warlock, a priest, a shaman, a druid, a shaman, a rogue, a warlock, a hunter, a druid, another shaman, seeing a trend here. Another priest, another mage, and another priest! I don't even have a paladin deck.
Even I have a priest deck now.
Yep. Have you played the priest?
I made
a
priest deck.
Come on, admit it. It's happening. We're having fun.
I played one game and it lost.
Really?
Really, really.
I like my C'Thun's. I think it's one of the pre-mades, the C'Thun's Clutch.
Yes, I made that one. I never actually played it.
It's fun.
I made another one from scratch, and it didn't work well.
When I have to play it, I play that one. When I have to play a shaman, I've been doing the Nosferatu's deck. I love his deck, so I play his. And that's pretty much it. But did we have news this week?
No news. Just a brawl.
Yep. Pick a hand, any hand. And the brawl of Clobbering Time was pick the first 7 cards of your deck, and we'll fill the rest of with unstable portals, and you get your portals after your mulligan. I couldn't get a handle on this one. Didn't really have fun, and didn't have the patience for the 25-30 minute long games, I usually like the portal decks. I don't know if it was because it's been 85 to 90 degrees all week, or I just wasn't getting the right combinations, but I didn't win, and I only played like 2 or 3 times, and that was it. I didn't finish.
How did you do?
Well, at first I did real well. I think I won like 3 or 4 games in a row. Then I started trading back and forth because You know, with those portal decks, it's half skill and half RNG. But I mitigated the
RNG. Well, that's
RNG.
The thing. It's a lot of RNG. It gets to the point. My frustration with it was when my cards were gone, it was just, okay, whatever comes up with the portal is all I have to work with. So I guess your skill is trying to make the randomization work.
Well, it's less RNG this time because you actually have some control over what gets played. For example, I saw tons of mages playing with the Sorcerer's Apprentice so that even their portals were coming out at one casting cost. And they'd put Flame Wakers in there. And I saw Warriors putting Grim Patrons in there. Actually, it was the mages I saw putting Grim Patrons in there so that they could ping them with their fireballs. But I didn't use any minions. Not technically any minions. I used mostly control and creature removal cards. I think I had two multi-shots, or maybe just one multi-shot, but I definitely had two deadly shots. I had a dart trap, I had an explosive trap, and I had a bear trap. So what's that? Six so far. And the seventh card was the Call of the Wild. Is that it? Call of the Wild with the three companions?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was usually used as my finisher. Because when I played that, I usually had a couple of other minions on the board. And they all got buffed up by one. And one of my minions had charge and another had taunt. And so several games I actually won with that card. But no actual summon cards, minion cards. Mm-hmm. And it worked rather well for me. Probably I won 70 to 80% of the games. But I won enough to do the win 5 brawl quests. And I kept going back whenever I got a quest to cast so many minions or play a hunter or whatever. I would go back and do the brawl, which is what I've been doing lately.
Okay.
So I didn't mind it. I actually liked it better than the regular portal deck. And I also liked being able to get away with just crafting half a deck. Because I didn't have to put 30 cards in the deck, it wasn't as bad only having to pick 7. So it was a nice compromise from
it was
the
almost,
have to make
yes,
your own
almost
deck.
Almost having to make your own deck, but not really.
Right.
Yeah.
Enough that it was less RNG, but not so much that it completely negated the RNG.
Gotcha.
RNG, for those who don't know, random number generator.
Yes, sir.
We used to never use the abbreviations because we were a podcast for beginners and for casual players, so we would always spell everything out. Because remember when we first started listening to podcasts, we said, What are they talking about?
Right.
What do those letters mean? What does that word
over two
mean?
And a half years ago?
We're not going to do that. So
we started 2.5 years ago.
Two and two-thirds of a year.
A long time ago.
We're 4 months from 3 years. So 2 and 2/3 of a year.
Didn't realize we were that far.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So do you want to talk about cards? Because we got to neutral. We did 1 through 3 last week.
Well, you didn't play anybody's deck, and we didn't get any emails,
I didn't get any emails, so I didn't play anybody's deck. Nope, not this time. As I said, I've just been doing my quests. I've saved, let's see, how much gold do I have? 685. You're probably at 1,200 already or more, right?
I have 1,475.
Holy crap. Yep, and of course, we're saving for the next expansion or
already
whatever it is.
Yep.
Yeah, so...
So if
we
it's 700
the
a wing,
save.
Then I at least have
if
enough for two wings.
Do. Right.
That's what you thought they were going to do,
that's my
right?
projection. Absolutely.
Hey,
that's what I'm thinking.
Since we're kind of talking about that same subject, I passed 2,600 wins today.
Oh! And where do you see this?
If you go to your quest tab. So I've won 2,603 games, 30 in arena, and... I got my, finally, I know almost 3 years of playing this, I finally got my warrior to level 60 today. So my hunter and my warrior are level 60.
My mage and my shaman are level 60. But how many total wins do you have?
In play mode, 2,603.
Oh, see, you're beating me. I'm at 2381. But I've only... Now, my arena wins. How many do you have?
30.
You know how many I have?
3?
7. No. 7. Because I've only played it, what, 2 or 3 times?
So that means either you don't play as often as me, or you lose more often than me. Mm-hmm. Or both.
Or both. But I do have a mage
join
at 30, a shaman at
or
30.
Die.
Join or die. Or both. I have a lot of 40s. Oddly enough, the paladin that I never played, I have 41 levels on him, which is funny.
I don't know how this happened, but I'm level 29 with my priest and only 28 with my shaman.
Wow. Now, my warlock is 45, my hunter is 47, my rogue is 49, my priest is 43. My lowest is the druid, comes in at 33, and then the warrior at 34.
Hmm.
So I play them pretty evenly, I guess. I gotta say, my paladin, warlock, hunter, and rogue are all in the 40s.
Nah, I'm all lopsided. In order, I got hunter 60, warrior 60, mage 49, warlock 40, paladin 39, druid 38, priest 29, shaman 28.
Oh, you played the... Really?
Oh, and rogue is 30. I forgot to say rogue. Really what?
You've played a shaman less than you've played a priest?
Yes, that's the surprising thing.
That is very surprising.
I must have played this priest way at the beginning of the...
Before you learned to hate
them? Of the game.
Them?
Yes, before I really started hating them. I didn't hate running with them. Yeah. I just hated playing
exactly
against them. I still concede whenever I see a priest now.
Even in the ladder?
Even in ranked, which is why I'm only ranked 19.
Gotcha. Yeah, this month has been a lot harder to rank up. I don't know about you, but I've been having a lot more difficulty this month. Last month it was a breeze. I mean, I got to rank 15 or 14 pretty quick.
But you played a reliable deck.
Yes. I haven't really been playing a lot this month.
I have done worse since this new expansion than
really
ever in my Hearthstone history. I have gone a couple of, I think, 2 months now without getting past rank 16.
Well,
17. Like, I'll probably be 18 when I quit this season.
Anybody wants a decent shaman deck, let me know, and I will again pass his deck information along, because I've just had a lot of fun with it. It brought back my love of playing a shaman. It really did.
Well, great.
So, definitely still the shaman mage. And no real news, so we're going to roll right into talking about cards. And since we did 1 through 3 last week. Yes. We're going to start at number 4. 4 mana. Casting costs. Why don't you start it?
Okay.
Because it's hard to say.
Clexi?
No.
Ember Weaver.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wait. I don't have my crafting button on. Thandral Staghelm. Oh, that's
what
you wanted me to
say. No.
Take. What?
Aberrant Berserker.
Aberrant Berserker?
We're not doing druid. We're doing neutral.
How did I get on druid?
I don't know.
It shifted. Okay.
Try
and
this again.
The brown and the beige kind of similar. So, all right. We'll go back to 4. All right. So the first one is Aberrant Berserker. See, you said that.
That's
okay.
Better.
It's a 4 casting cost, 3/5 minion, enrage, +2 attack. So it's a common card, and it's of common quality, and it's fair for a common card.
And it's decent. Yep, enrage with +2, especially when you've got 5 health. You can ping it yourself for 1. It's going to become a 5/4 creature. So yeah, that's not that bad a card.
Yep, so it's totally common.
Yep, totally common. And then,
this is job.
Pirates.
Go ahead.
The Blackwater Pirate. She's cute. She's really adorable. This little goblin in the artwork. Your weapons cost 2 less. It's a 2/5 pirate for 4. So obviously this is not likely going to be in a mage deck or a priest deck.
Well, essentially, it's going to be used in a pirate deck. Because
a pirate deck.
I haven't seen this played in anything but pirate decks.
Right. However, it's not that bad, really, if you think about it, for just to put it in a warrior deck.
Because well, the synergy on its, for as a standalone, it works. Better.
Well, yeah, but I mean, on its own, in not a pirate deck, it still works well for anybody who uses a weapon costing two less. That's
well, it depends on how many weapons you use. So remember, one of the best warrior weapons was, I think it was called Death's Bite. It was from Naxx, so it's gone. So that leaves one of the next best and most popular weapons to use is the axe that comes out for just two mana. So that comes out before she does. So unless you're equipping like Gore Howl or something, which would be a huge savings.
So you don't like this card?
Well, if you get her out on turn four, then you can get Gore Howl out on turn five if she survives. So if you're playing a pirate weapon deck, I'm sorry, a pirate warrior deck, then yeah, it could work if you're a Gore Howl user. Although I don't think I've seen people play Gore Howl and pirates at the same time. Certainly it's doable. But I think other than the pirate synergy, I wouldn't use her because that weapon costing two less, unless you have a deck completely based around weapons. Because most warriors don't really have more than three or four.
Rogues.
Yeah, rogues. Same thing.
Rogues
have fast weapons anyway.
That's true.
I mean, they can equip their hero power as a weapon.
So you don't really like her?
I think
poor little
I like,
thing.
I like her if I'm playing a pirate deck. A warrior or a rogue pirate deck.
So she's a specialty card.
Of course.
Yes. And we had wanted more pirates. I wonder when the ninjas are coming out.
No ninjas. Just ninja ogres.
Yes. Go for it.
C'Thun's Chosen. Four casting costs, four attack, two health, divine shield. Very commonly used. I see it all the time because the battle cry is give your C'Thun +2/+2. So if you're playing a C'Thun deck, anything that adds to C'Thun is a benefit. And
I don't think that's in my deck.
So for a C'Thun deck, it's worthwhile.
Yeah, I actually don't
never
think it's
use
in
it
mine.
Otherwise. Or well, if you're playing a divine shield. If you're playing a divine shield deck, you know there are divine shield decks
well,
out there.
Of course you've got to play it with a C'Thun deck. I mean, that's the whole thing.
But there are lots of other C'Thun cards, so you don't have to.
Right.
But
as I said, it's not in my deck. It's I didn't even know it really existed. I don't use it.
Well, as I said, there are decks that heavily rely on Divine Shield, sharing them, removing them, getting buffs from them. You could use it in one of those.
Uh-huh.
And it would be useful for that. So, again, it's
a common
card. It's not the best C'Thun card, but it's certainly worth using, I think, in a C'Thun deck. Now that I said that, I'll have to look and see if it's in mine. Because most of my C'Thun decks are the pre-mades.
Mm-hmm. The next card I do not have. It's an epic. Forecasting cost, Cyclopean Horror, Taunt. Battle cry is gain +1 health for each enemy minion.
I like it.
Yeah, he's got Taunt. And if they have a full board... As I said, I don't have it. I would certainly use this card if I had it.
Like, I have
imagine
two of
all
them.
Those little ping decks where they bring out like 6/1/1 creatures. You throw him out.
Yep.
Yeah. He
I mean,
can be powerful
even
very
if your
quickly.
Opponent only has one, then you're a 3/4 with taunt for four, which isn't horrible. So, but inevitably, she comes out, it comes out, whatever it is, comes out. 3/5/3/6, but it could potentially be 3/10.
Yep.
So I like it, and
I do too. I agree. I would use it if I had it. I would. Next.
My turn, right?
Yep.
Eater of Secrets. Forecasting cost 2/4. Battle cry. Destroy all enemy secrets and gain +1/+1 for each.
Nope.
I love it.
Do you? I don't like it.
I love it.
Why? I mean, come on. There are a lot of cards and a lot of decks that don't use secrets.
Right, but there are three classes who do. So let me tell you a story that happened to me today.
Tell me a story, because you got to win me over with this card.
I
don't like cards that risk not having their battle cry even be worth it. And for four casting cost.
But it's still a 2/4. And it's, well, do you keep oozes in your deck in case your opponent has a weapon? Do you have Iron Beak Owls in your deck in case there's something you want them to silence? Do you keep Flare in your Hunter deck just in case they have a secret? This doesn't get rid of one secret. It gets rid of all of them, and it's a minion. So at worst, you get a 2/4 for 4. At best, you get rid of their secrets. If anybody's playing the, you know, the Christmas Tree Paladin still, there are uses. Anyway, yesterday, I happened to be playing the Portal deck, and I got out 2 secrets at the same time. Well, my opponent must have gotten this through a portal, because he cast it, and both of my secrets went away.
All right. I'm still not sold, though, because, as I said, I just don't know. It's a lot of casting costs for... It may never be...
Well, how many hunters, paladins, and mages do you face? Half the decks I face are one of those classes.
No, I don't know if it's an RNG thing or what, but I tend to run more into warlocks, rogues, and priests.
I almost never run into a rogue anymore. And I concede when I see a priest.
Okay, well that's why it's good for you, because you're conceding half the time.
Mages and hunters are like lice. They're everywhere.
Okay.
And paladins aren't far behind. So it's a rare card, and it's rare for a reason, because in the right circumstance, it's good. And there's probably a lot of people who agree with you. I'm not going to waste the card space in case my opponent doesn't have secrets. But that guy really screwed me over by getting rid of all my secrets yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. The next one, I'm going to give a meh rating to. Forecasting cost 2/2 creature, spell damage +2, the evolved Kobold. I think it's too fragile for the amount of casting costs. It's going to take you 4 to get that sucker out, and it's only got 2 health. It's going to get killed very quickly. There are just so many better cards you can play for 4 mana. Are you agreement with that one, or?
So apparently the search engine does not work as well as it should. I'm trying to find the other spell power cards to compare it.
Yeah, I've noticed. I've often tried to look up legendary. I thought if you type legendary, it would show you legendaries, and it hasn't been doing that either.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because if you type in legend, it doesn't always work, but legendary usually does. In any event, there's a lot of people who run spell damage cards. Oh, spell damage. Hold on. I was looking up spell power. Not spell damage.
Gotcha.
Okay, so the Jungle Moonkin does spell damage +2 to both players. So he's a little more hefty because you've got a caveat. Most of them are mage characters. So it's a 3/2 for 2 for the Cult Sorcerer, which gives just +1 spell damage, but also boosts your C'Thun. So that's better. The Soot Spewer is a 3/3 for 3, but it only gives 1. The Dalaran Aspirant has an Inspire that gives spell damage. Velen's Chosen is a 3 casting cost, but it's a spell, not a minion. It gives spell damage, but also 2/4. And there are a lot of neutral ones. The Kobold Geomancer is a 2/2 for 2 and only gives spell damage +1. So this card's better than that, isn't it?
Yeah, but double the mana to call it out, and it's still a 2/2.
Oh, wait, it was 4 mana?
Yeah, it's 4 mana to call this sucker out.
All right, so...
I just don't think it's a good card.
Yeah.
I honestly don't. I think it's too weak.
It's a little expensive.
You know what would make it
work? Well, the Ogre Magi is 4/4 for 4, and it only gives +1 damage. But you know, that extra 1 damage...
But it's a 4/4.
All right, hold on a second. We're talking about the evolved kobold, right?
Yes.
All right.
I think it would work if it was a 2/3. But that 2 health It's just too fragile to spend 4 mana on something that's going to be killed that quickly.
Right.
In my opinion.
But there's not too many that give +2. Almost all of them give only +1 spell damage.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, with the exception of the Moonkin...
I just don't see it's that much of a big deal.
All right. Let's ask you this, Miss Shaman player. Let's say you want to cast your Lightning Storm, your AoE. Uh-huh. Wouldn't it be nice now and then to have that one extra point to take out bigger minions?
Sure, but I'm going to be mana blocked by using a lot of spells that have overload, so that 4 casting cost is going to hurt me because I'm going to be having overloaded cards too.
All right, well, it's a common. It's a common.
It is.
It could have its use in a spell deck, you know, or a rogue fan of knives
to do the extra. I'm sure it does. I'm sure there are people out there that like it. I don't.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I just think it's too weak.
I don't like it either.
If it was a 2/3, I'd like it a little bit more. 2/4, I would love it. 2/2, it's too fragile. It doesn't do that much damage on its own. It dies quick, and it spends a lot of mana to get out there.
Well, the only good part of it is the flavor text. You know, take tentacle. But
right,
I think some people might use it.
Have you ever seen it used?
If it pops out, what it would be best at is those cards that pop out a minion when they die and stuff. Then it wouldn't be so bad because you're not paying the mana cost.
Right.
I don't think I've seen it used, so.
Yeah.
Let's pass on that Evolve Kobold.
Okay, let's move on.
To the Frigid Snowballed.
No.
Remember the Snowballs?
There's a faceless shadow. Where are you?
Oh, hold on.
What did you do?
I was still in the spell damage search engine.
Okay.
Let's go back to old gods and not all cards. And faceless shambler, you said.
Yes.
Epic.
Epic. So
it's a 4 casting cost, 1/1 with taunt. Battle cry. Copy of friendly minions attack and health. This appears in one or more of my pre-made decks. And the key is, the thing that makes me not like it as much is this copy of friendly minions attack and health.
Right.
So if you don't have any decent minions out, he's not going to really be that good. Whereas he'd be great if your opponent calls out Ysera or Ragnaros or something.
And it's only a 4/12.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he's got taunt, so having 12 health would be wonderful, right?
I like him.
So he could have his uses. I would like it to say, copy a minion's attack and health.
Yeah, but then it's going to be really broken.
Yeah, I guess.
But I do like it. I think it's a decent card. Especially in, like, put it in a dragon deck or something like that, too.
Yep.
So, yep. You're getting the minion's health and you're getting a taunt to go with it. And you hold it until you have it worthwhile.
Yes. So if you play something, you want to make sure it sticks around long enough. So you've got to cast... If you want to get it out the same turn as another, then it's got to be a 6-cost minion that you're copying, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, if you play something big, you have to trust that it survives long enough for you to copy it.
Yep. And with some of the, as I said, with my dragon decks, if I were to put it in one of those, you know, after a while, you're popping out some large creatures. Or in a druid deck that has, you know, you're using your, building your quick, big creatures.
Yep.
Throw that in there too. And now you've got your big, quick creature with taunt.
Yeah. So, I can see how this could be considered a
definitely
good card.
Definitely a good card.
I'm on the fence. So let's move on.
Okay, the Infested Tauren is a 4 casting cost 2/3 creature, taunt, with death rattle, summon a 2/2 slime. It's not a bad card, it's a common card. I mean, for common, I think this is actually pretty decent.
It's pretty good for a common.
It is.
So you've got the taunt, which means it's going to be the target. You know it's going to die and die pretty quickly, but it's going to save things from going to your face. Mm-hmm. And then you end up with a slime as well. So it's like a bonus.
And, you know, I mean, If it was just a 2-3 with taunt, you're gonna, well, for 4 mana, you're gonna say, well, it's gonna die really fast. But the big plus is its death rattle, and you throw that out there with a card that has the double your death rattle.
And right.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and a lot of people enjoy playing cards that give them other minions, because death rattle summon a minion of any kind. There are a couple of them in the game. You know, a Brawl or a Doom or any of those cards that get rid of all the other cards. Your opponent may be left with no minions on the table, but you've got that death rattle minion that pops out.
Right,
so
right.
It's got versatility.
I like it. For a common card, I think it's pretty decent.
Next. Wow, are we going to get through all of these today?
Well, not all the way to number 10.
Okay.
So we might get through 4 and 5.
All right. Midnight Drake. Battlecry. Gain +1 attack for each other card in your hand. And it's a dragon. It's a 4 casting cost, 1/4. So that's not a bad rare card. And it's really good in the dragon deck. I know because I played it in my dragon deck, and it managed to do well. Because my dragon deck has so many high-cost cards that don't typically come out until late game, it bolstered this, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, one attack for... Yeah, I actually don't think it's in my dragon deck, and I'm kind of surprised that it wasn't put into one of the pre-mades that they have, because it's a pretty decent card.
I don't think it was in any of the pre-made cards decks. Anyway, what do you think?
I'm not sure. And here's why. Sometimes I get rid of my hand really quick. And it's very dependent on how many cards you have in your hand. And usually, by the time you're ready to cast something that costs you 4 mana, you've emptied your hand pretty far.
All right, let's not talk about dragon decks then. Let's talk about handlock decks. There are warlocks who have entire decks designed around building their hands up. This could be used in that kind of deck.
True enough. Yeah, okay. Because then if you have 6 or 7 in your hand, you have an 8/4 creature pretty much for 4. So, yeah, I guess not too shabby. I don't know. I haven't used it, so I'm not sure.
Okay, move on to the next card then.
Okay, next card is the Polluted Hoarder. Death Rattle is draw card, and it's a 4 casting cost, 4/2 creature. I'm on the fence on this one. It's pretty decent. In that you get to draw a card and you have a 4/2 creature out. It costs 4 to get it out. I'm not sure. It's common. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Will I use it?
Why use it? To take out other minions with?
I think I would. Or to have you, if you want to try to get people to use it as a target.
Yeah.
You know,
so
get it out there.
You draw a card anyway,
yeah.
Unless you get double death rattle, in which case you get 2.
Yeah, I think that it would work. I think it's a decent card.
Yeah, for
it's
a common.
Yep, absolutely. Next card?
Twilight Summoner.
Do you have this one?
Epic. Yes, I do. I have one of them.
Nice, I don't.
It's a 4 casting cost, 1/1, death rattle. Summon a 5/5 faceless destroyer. So it is way, way expensive for a 1/1, but getting a 5/5 out after that, and again, there's the double death rattle deal that, you know, if you have a deck like that, this would be even better than that.
It's also the Obi-Wan Kenobi card.
The Obi-Wan Kenobi card?
Yes, his flavor text is, if you strike him down, he shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. So yeah,
which is
so
true.
It's the Obi-Wan.
Except 5/5 is not bigger than I could possibly imagine.
It's kind of silly.
Yeah.
4 mana for a 1/1 creature. And basically, it's 4 mana for a 5/5 creature. If you think about it.
Again, death rattle decks.
Yep. Oh, and the double death rattle, you get 2 of them.
Yeah. And it puts a minion out there that you could do things with. You can enhance it and make it better with other cards. And your opponent has to then think, do I destroy it or not? Kind of like the Nerubian Egg. It's like, do I kill this thing and deal with a 4-4, or in this case 5-5, or do I let it be and take the 1 damage each turn? So it's one of those choice cards. So, you know.
Yeah. I think it's decent.
Yeah, well, that's why it's an epic.
Right. Well, no, that's not necessarily true. There are epics out there that stink. The next one is we're going to the 5 mana now, the Corrupted Healbot. Death Rattle is restore 8 health to the enemy hero. It's a mech. It's a 6/6. It costs 5 to bring it out. I know the answer to this one. You don't like it at all.
No, I don't, but I could see ways around it. He's a 6/6 for 5, which is pretty damn good. So that's
and it's
the
a
caveat.
Mech, so mechs have a lot of build if you have your mech decks, which you don't see as much often anymore.
So here's the thing. He does 6 damage, but he restores 8. So if you get a few shots in with him, you know, if you attack with him twice and do 12 damage, then at least he's done something when the opponent gets the 8 back. But if you're playing a druid, for example, and you get him out real quick, your opponent's still going to have a lot of health left, so he won't really get 8 back. Maybe he'll only get 6. And
what about this?
It can use to kill other minions.
What about
big minions?
What about in a priest deck where your healing spells do damage? Upon his death, wouldn't he hurt the opposing hero for 8?
That's spells and abilities, I believe, and this would be an ability. But I don't know.
I think it would.
I think you're probably right, but I don't know.
So, you know what? I just started liking it. And I'm not a priest player.
Well, you could silence it also.
That's true.
I think the main reason, though, is to take out your opponent's other decently sized cards.
Yeah.
And that might just be worth giving him 8 back.
Yeah, that's true. Because if you can take out his board, that you can still hit him in the face, and the restoring 8 isn't going to do it. It'll not have as much impact because you've cleared his board.
And it synergizes in mech decks, but this is for a particular type of player. I'm not the type of player this is for, because I don't play anything where I'm going to give my opponent a bunch of stuff, even if I get a short-term benefit out of it. You know, like Zombie Chow. A lot of people love that card. I really didn't like to. Oh, we have a guest in the chat room. I finally got the Twitch open.
Ah.
So, hello, Espo.
So, do you thumbs up or thumbs down on the Corrupted Healbot?
No, I'm thinking there are people who love this card, and I am not one of them.
Right. What about the next card?
Okay, the one I don't have. Crazed Worshipper, 5 casting cost.
Awesome.
5 casting cost. 3/6 with taunt. Whenever this minion takes damage, give your C'Thun +1/+1. I have had many opponents use this, and I hated it. Because
I have him and I love him.
It's hard to take him out all in one fell swoop. So you usually kill him by damaging, you know, death by 1,000 cuts. And each time you do it, you're making your C'Thun tougher. Your opponent's C'Thun tougher.
He is in my deck. I have one of him. If I had a second one, he'd be in my deck too. Because, every time he's going to take damage. That's all there is to it. He's a taunt, so everybody's going to be attacking him. Of course, unless you sheep him or turn him into a little froggy. He's going to help your C'Thun.
Right, and that's the thing. You can't ignore him if he's got taunt.
Nope.
You can silence
him. I like
him.
He's awesome.
He's a beautiful card to silence. Get rid of the taunt and get rid of the damage-taking thing. But, you know, an insta-kill, like a deadly shot from a hunter, would take him out without actually doing damage. So those are good. I think there's a priest card in Tomb that would just remove it from the board. So there are a few ways to get around that, but it's tough.
It is an awesome card for any C'Thun deck. It is probably one of the top good cards for a C'Thun deck.
Which is why it's an epic and which is why I don't have it.
Yeah, I only have one, but I'm very happy with the one I have, and I use him. That's all there is to it. He's awesome.
Whose turn is it?
Yours.
Cult Apothecary. Because cults need pharmacists too. It's a 5 casting cost, 4/4 minion. Battle cry. For each enemy minion, restore 2 health to your hero. That's a pretty darn good common, I think.
I'm sitting here thinking, why don't I use this card? Yeah, he is pretty decent. He's, you know, where my complaint was before, that was a 4 casting cost for a 2/2. This is a 5 casting cost for a 4/4. You're bringing out a pretty powerful card by itself, and the battle cry is going to heal you. I like it.
Yeah, especially if you're playing against a Zoo or a Murloc deck or something, against a Warlock who just called out all those tentacles or whatever they were for using all their mana, the forbidden cards, or Onyxia. I mean, there's lots of times your opponent fills up his side of the board.
And he's not going to die easily, and he's also really not going to have a target because his main ability is when you cast him out. So it's not going to be like, oh, I've got to kill that card now because it's going to be doing something. No.
It's already done its damage.
It's already done its damage once it comes out and you still have a 4/4 creature on the board. I think this is an awesome card. I really do. And it's a common. It's a nice common.
Next.
Darkspeaker. Darkspeaker is an epic. Battle cry, swap stats with a friendly minion. It comes out, it's a 3/6.
Well,
doesn't do anything for me.
The 3/6 is really kind of irrelevant if you're swapping stats with a bigger minion.
Right. I don't know.
Depends on what's in your deck.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're playing a big minion deck, then it could be handy. To me,
but at the same time,
it's a little high cost.
It'll also weaken your other minion because your other minion becomes lower. But what happens if your other minion is injured? Does the injury transfer to him?
No, it's just the stats.
So you can actually
be healing.
It's
the current stats, though. It's the current stats.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing.
I don't know. I don't think I would use it.
No.
I would not. But I don't know if I've even seen other people use it.
I don't think I have.
It's probably a niche card.
Yeah, not impressed.
Somebody's got a use for it. So we'll move on to Psychotron. So see, this is like a corrupted Annoyatron.
Uh-huh.
Except he's playing guitar, so that's kind of cool. 5 casting cost, 3/4. With Taunt and Divine Shield, and it's a mech.
It's a decent card, and it's a mech. Yeah, put this in your mech deck if you're playing a mech.
Yuck.
It's pretty a common.
Pretty decent for a common card. To have two special abilities and a tribe.
Yeah, definitely. So I think both of us were thumbs up on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Validated Doomsayer. I always want to say Doomslayer. Validated Doomsayer. At the start of your turn, set this minion's attack to 7. 5 casting cost, 0/7. I've seen this played. I'm not sure I like it. Because they can take their minions and kill it and take no damage from it because they're attacking it on your turn, so it's going to be a 0/7.
Correct. And so they can do it with weapons as well and take no damage.
Yeah, and take no damage. So, having a 7/7 for 5.
If it survives the first turn, you get a 7/7 for 5. So there's the trade-off.
Mm-hmm. But it's 5 casting cost, too. So, I guess, I don't know.
So you cast it when your opponent has no minions out? Because
I'd play the Psychotron before I'd play that.
Yeah, I wouldn't play it. But, I don't know. And then if somebody were to swap that around, like there's a priest card that does that.
Yep.
Then it's dead.
Yep.
So I'm not really particularly fond of it, but some people might like it. I'm not one of them. Let's move on to the Ancient Harbinger. At the start of your turn, put a 10-cost minion from your deck into your hand. That's its ability. It's not a battle cry or a death rattle. It's just at the start of your turn, put a 10-cost minion from your deck into your hand. It's a 6 casting cost, 4/6. That's not a bad card if you've got 10-cost minions in your deck waiting to come
into
your
hand. It's also an end game. It doesn't get them into play, though. Yeah, it's an end game card because you want to be able to. I don't know, if you play it on turn 7 or 8, you'll get your hand filled, which will help, because by turn 10, you'd be having 10 mana.
Well, by turn 10, if you had several of them because your opponent didn't kill this guy off, you could pick and choose which 10-cost mana minion
right.
you want.
So, and, you know, given the...
And it's card draw.
Oh, yeah, there are. I wanted to talk about something else. Let me find a deck. I'm switching out very quickly. I wanted to say something about Wild Growth that I never knew. I know this has nothing to do with its expansion. Did you know what happens if you cast Wild Growth on turn 10?
Yeah, you get a card that enables you to draw a card.
Right, you draw a card.
Yep.
I didn't know that until this week. So just in case there are other people out there that didn't know this simple thing, because the card doesn't tell you that, if you've used all your mana and you have a Wild Growth in your hand, I used to just hold it and say, well, what the hell do I need it for now? I never realized that if you cast it, you get another card.
Yep.
So just throwing that out there. So there might actually be other people other than me who didn't know that that was the case.
I think it's called extra mana.
Yep.
Excess mana or something like that.
So I wanted to show that.
Card. Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's never happened to me, but...
I've had it happen. So, yeah, no, definitely good. So let's get back to... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump off track.
Ancient Harbinger, your turn to do...
My turn to do the Corrupted Seer, which is a 6 casting cost, 2/3 Murloc. And battle cry is deal 2 damage to all non-Murloc minions. So my initial thought was 6 mana for a 2/3 creature. Then my second was, in a Murloc deck? Hell yeah, because you're going to have board full of Murlocs and you're going to be dealing 2 damage to all non-Murloc creatures.
So it's an AoE.
It's a board clearer, possibly. Well, only 2 damage.
It's only 2,
but...
though.
Yeah, but there are so many. There are the paladin decks and stuff like that that have the 1/1 creatures all over the place.
Yep, the Silverhand recruit decks.
Yep, and there are so many. Yeah, same thing with and the tentacle one where it calls out 10 tentacle of 1/1 tentacles. So yeah, it's not that bad a card for a Murloc deck. It's situational and only for a Murloc deck.
Right.
But
Yeah, you'd have but to be it's crazy good for that. To yep. use that in any other
deck. So if you've
deck.
Got, yeah, if you've got a Murloc deck, you use this card. Any of the deck, not so much. But if you've got a Murloc deck, yes, you want to use this card.
Yeah, and it is a little pricey, but there are so many things that the Murloc synergizes with, so mm-hmm. it might be worth it.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to make a Murloc deck with no spells, then this takes the place of a spell.
And a creature.
Mukla, Tyrant of the Veil. He's a legend that I don't have. He's a 6 casting cost, 5/5 beast. Battle cry, add 2 bananas to your hand. So much better than King Mukla, don't you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, because it helps you.
Yeah, it doesn't give your opponent bananas.
Yep.
I hate that. Hate it.
Yep. Something. Well, one moment. I'm sorry. I just totally lost where we are. So we, 5/5 or 6 is not bad in and of itself. Put it in a hunter deck because it's a beast. So a
there
lot of times.
There are beast decks now.
Yes, that's true too. There are so many cards that synergize just with a beast, and you're getting bananas. Let me see. Am I next? The Nimrodium Prophet.
Yeah, I did Mukla.
Okay. Six casting costs, 4/4 creature. At the start of your turn, reduce this card's cost by one. So this is one of the ones that you want to hold in your hand for a while, right? Because each time you hold it, it decreases the casting cost.
So that's good if you get it early in the game, and then you can cast it faster later.
Yep.
Not a bad common.
Nope. I probably wouldn't use it.
No.
There are just so... I mean, it's a good card. I'm not saying it's a bad card. It's just there are so many good cards that I probably wouldn't use it because if I'm going to put... I don't know. I would use something that would be a little bit more sure.
Yeah, well, this is a decent card for someone who's new to the game and doesn't have a lot of other better cards because it's a common. So chances are if you bought several packs of this expansion, you got at least one. So... You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you use him?
No, I don't. But I'm not a new player with a small card base either.
True, true. Next?
Next is Scaled Nightmare. Six casting costs, epic. I don't have it. It looks like it's... Yes, it's an epic. Looks cool too. Six casting costs, 2/8 dragon. At the start of your turn, double this minion's attack.
Oh yes!
Yeah,
that's
nice.
A nice card for a dragon deck. That's a decent card even for a not dragon deck. Six casting costs. It's got 8 health. Yes, it's going to have a target on it, but it starts with 8 health.
It's also a good bait card. You have it out there.
It is an awesome bait card.
It's going to scare your opponent. He's going to want to get rid of it. And maybe whatever he gets rid of it with doesn't then get used on your next better dragon that you call out.
Pretty artwork. The flavor
I might
test.
Craft that.
Yeah, the flavor text is hysterical. I like it because it scales. Get it?
Yes, dragon scales.
Dragon scales. The card scales up per turn. I have it. This is funny because, you know, we do the podcast and don't even look at the cards we get. I'm putting this in my dragon deck. Don't know why I have it in my deck.
Well, I'm glad you have one.
Yep. So yeah, I'm definitely, so you're going to craft it, huh?
I think I might.
Okay. We've got one more card to go through before we end the night.
Okay. That's yours.
Pronounce that. Scram?
Scram?
Scram? Scram. I think it's a Scram cultist.
Skiram?
Skiram?
I don't know.
Scram. I like Scram. Scram cultist. Six casting costs, 7.
It's got an extra vowel in there.
Skur-am.
Skur-am.
Skur-am. That's what we're going to do. Anyway, six casting costs, 7/6 minion, battle cry, give your C'Thun a +2/+2 wherever it is. Another decent C'Thun card. 7/6 is costly, but it is a 7/6, and it does give your C'Thun +2/+2. By the time he comes out, your C'Thun's probably already pretty pumped and is probably just about ready to be in your hand if he's not there already.
Yeah, well, he may even be out, and that's okay, because if he's out and in play, you could then throw this down to accompany him and still make your C'Thun bigger.
Yep. So I think he's pretty decent. I don't think he's in my deck. I don't remember seeing him because I would have been trying to figure out how to say Scram.
But there's so many C'Thun cards, you can't use them all.
Yeah, and I think that's why he's not in my deck. But I'm telling you, that Scaled Nightmare is going to be in my deck. Definitely putting it into my Priest Dragon deck.
Well, good.
Yep. On that note, we have a more serious note. This is now the end of episode turn 130. We also want to thank Xander, who has been behind us on all the podcasts we have done over the past almost 3 years. We are announcing tonight that we are kind of going to hang up our headphones for a while, folks. We will probably be back at the next expansion, maybe for a couple shows to discuss it, and we may just go and do that for a while. I haven't had time to play as much as I used to do. Different things have called me away, so I don't feel I can contribute as much as I used to. Autumn's Bane, how do you pipe in here?
Well, when we started doing this, there were three other podcasts out there. There were one or two others that had actually been around and had folded already. They didn't go very many episodes. One of them is vastly, wildly popular, and everyone knows who that is. Another was a quality show that is still going on, but was kind of sporadic for quite a while there, and we surpassed it in episodes, but also still going. And then there was the Happy Hearthstone. I could say who it is. The first one was the Angry Chicken, of course, and the third one was Turn 2 with who's that guy that won the first Invitational before, while it was still in beta?
Frit?
Artosis. Artosis.
Oh, Artosis. I'm sorry. I thought I could think of our people.
No, Artosis with that was Turn 2, and Turn 2 has been long gone. But when we started doing this, we felt there was a need for a casual podcast, for a podcast that spoke to new players as if they were actually new players and not experts who had already mastered the game, which the other podcast kind of did. Nothing wrong with that, but we felt that there was an opening for us. So we started the week after the Angry Chicken, and I think we did our job, and we filled that gap. We were also the first podcast to hold tournaments. No one else was doing that. We were the first. And so we were kind of popular at the beginning. But now there are 20 other podcasts out there that do Hearthstone. 20. 20. And they're probably all more into the game and more enthusiastic and follow every little streamer and tournament and everything else that's out there. We've gone through two other co-hosts, Micmac and Ugly Brute. Thank you for being with us for the time you were with
absolutely.
Us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you,
guys.
You definitely made the show better, and we're diminished for the lack of you. But I think we've done our job. The time is done. We're not getting emails. We're not even getting bad reviews anymore on
no, we're not asking for bad reviews.
We have like three or four fans who still write us periodically. One or two people show up in our chat room. I think we're basically done. Our time has come.
Yep.
Blacklace wants to come back occasionally. We'll see if that happens. And,
yep. I think with the new expansions and new releases, maybe we'll show up. It's going to happen almost quarterly. So maybe we'll just do a couple quarterly shows, see how it goes. So, you know, if you guys want to write emails and stuff, you know, continue to. And if we do, you know, do a show at the next release, we will still read emails. I'll still play people's decks if they want to send them. I mean, it's not like we're not going to look at our emails, but we're not going to do a weekly show anymore. And we do want to thank all of our loyal listeners and all of the people who have, you know, been in the chat room and visited with us or texted us or tweeted, emailed, everybody. Thank you so much. And Xander, again, just so much better for knowing you. And thank you for having us put or allowing us to put on the show for almost 3 years.
And a couple of other people to thank.
Yep.
I want to thank Ro from Realm Maintenance for always helping promote us.
Yes.
He's had us on his show twice. He tweets out when we have announcements. He retweets. He keeps us on his listing at his site. So he's just been wonderful for the whole podcasting community. I want to thank Azeroth Roundtable for having me on their podcast the one time I was there to discuss Warcraft. Awesome City Limits. Since the moment we first heard you, we just said, we need your song, and you accommodated us. And we love you for that.
Belschnickel for having us on his podcast.
He did?
Yeah.
We were on his podcast?
Well, it was his... Stop it! Well, it wasn't his podcast. What the heck? What are they called?
Converted?
The Converted, yes.
We were on that show?
Weren't we?
No. We were invited. We never went.
Oh, boy. It's, you know, it's... Yeah. This is why I'm retiring. I listened to him so many times on that show when we were just starting, and I just felt like we were on it.
He was on our show. He came in He came in second in one of our tournaments, not even first. And you know, but we got along with him, well with him, so we had him on the show. But no, we were not on his show.
Dan, I just felt like I was there. I could even see their faces. Maybe I was just in the chat room with them. That's it.
Yes,
it was
you
just
were.
So long ago. That's yes, what you it was. Were. I'm sorry. Anyway, thank you to all of you. I'm sorry if we missed anybody. Ringo, thank you for always being in the chat room. Micmac, thank you for always sending feeds of your gaming, even when you're not playing it or heavy into Overwatch and real life and work. You've all been great.
And all the players who have been on our show, Frid, who you can now find at his own podcast, Frid Gaming.
Oh, and let's not forget Yanwu for coming on the show.
Yes, Yanwu. The one time Blizzard actually helped support us. No, that's not true. They used to list us when on the forums there was a listing of the podcast. Before there got to be too many podcasts and they stopped doing it.
Right, but he was on for episode 100 and that was wonderful.
Yes, that was a great experience. Thank you, Yanwu, if you're still listening.
And that about sums it up. So again, you know, you can still send us messages. You'll always be able to download old podcasts at the Stitcher Satellite Radio from holosuitemedia.com and from iTunes, of course. We're still listed on Facebook at awohearthstone.com. You can still find us and email us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. That's it. Thanks, everybody, and farewell for now. Happy hearthing.
So long. Good night. Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Ciao. Adieu.
Shalom. See ya.
Hasta la vista, baby.
A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.